Gibson running left. Can he get in the end zone?
And in 3, 2, 1. Oh.
We might have to leave that
no,
in.
No, we'll do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. Oh,
hey.
Jesus Christ. Okay, 3.
That was the best way to sum up the day.
Yeah, basically sitting here sunburned with a sweating White Claw in front of me. 3, 2, 1. All right. Welcome on back to another edition of the Baltimore Beatdown Podcast. It is Monday, September 16th. My name is Jake Luke. I am one of your hosts and 2-0,
which is the exact same record that Spencer Nathaniel Schultz has in voting for presidents, just in case you guys were wondering.
Sick. Good for you, man. Good way to
anyway.
Start things off. There was a football game today, but...
Yeah, well, this is actually going to be strictly a political post-Democratic National Convention podcast. We're actually not going to talk about the Ravens or Cardinals.
Yeah,
just
I got a lot of Andrew Yang takes I got to get off, but...
It was a long day, guys. We're doing this one on YouTube, and if you're looking at me right now, half of my face, I'm Harvey Dent, live long enough to see myself become burnt. Dead down the left side of my face. Jake is very rosy as well. It was a long day at the bank, but a fantastic game, a wonderful time. We had a lot of fun today.
Yeah, it was a good sporting contest. You know, maybe a little bit closer than a lot of people were expecting. I think I predicted it to be closer than some other people, but definitely not like that. 23-17, your final score, with the Cardinals making it pretty, a little bit of a nail biter there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, Kyler, like I said, I was really excited to see this matchup. And the only quarterback that is currently in the NFL that I can compare Kyler to is Russell Wilson. And I feel like it's that baseball intangible, like live to die another day, play to play, where if Kyler sees pressure coming and knows like, okay, I didn't make a good read here, he just falls on the ground and takes a 3-yard loss for a rookie. That's really impressive to not force a bad situation. They didn't turn the ball over, did they, once?
No, they didn't.
Yeah, outstanding game, his first road start. I thought that Kingsbury kind of cut the BS out of what limited them against the Lions last week, where they picked it up once they were down. He wasn't getting too cute. And Kyler was awesome, man. It was really fun to watch. I thought the Cardinals were outstanding offensively. And this is going to be a little bit moving forward, but... good test for what the Chiefs are going to bring next week.
Yeah, it's, you know, potentially lethal mobility combined with like rare arm talent, not just arm strength, but ability to kind of put the ball wherever you need it to go. And he showed a lot of that today, and that's a good point because you're going to see an even more souped up version of that next week in Mahomes. So we'll obviously get into that, but kind of starting off with this game, what was kind of your morning like leading up to kickoff here?
So I was a little bit late getting started. I woke up early. I was up around 7:15. I was ready to roll. My party that I was rolling with, we didn't end up getting out of the house rolling until about 9:30. Then we got down there by about 11 and we were out. I was in lot A, tailgating, grabbing a couple sausages, and it was really fun. There was a definite change in energy, and I'm going to like act like I'm really cool because I've gone to Ravens games my whole life because I've been very fortunate. Thank you, Mom, and everything. But so when I was about 10, 15 years old, in the Ray Lewis heyday, there was this palpable energy of fans and excitement and pride in the city of Baltimore, of the Ravens, and people coming together, this really tangible energy. And I feel like post Ray Lewis, particularly kind of after Joe started getting banged up with the ACL and then the back injury, there's been kind of a lag and more empty seats and a little bit less energy than usual. That was not the case today. The Browns game last year, week 17, was huge, 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 huge. Chargers game was kind of funky just because people were kind of stressed about that, whatever, that's in the past. But today, for a home opener, it couldn't get more fun. There was not a more fun, positive environment. And Ravens flock, Ravens Nation was out there. I was talking to a lot of randos, like getting out there, just mixing it up with people, and it was fun, man. I was really feeling it. I was digging it. So great job to the 12th man environment today.
Yeah, definitely. I was thinking about it a little bit because I was in a bit of a similar boat. We got going, leaving the house maybe about 10:30, got down into the city around 11, and was at the stadium and, or, you know, in and around it by like 11:30, and it felt kind of like a baseball opening day to me. It was a lot of fun,
right?
Happy environment. Like, yeah, you don't always see that with football, because
a celebration of sorts,
right? It's always a more stressful sort of experience with football, so you see a little bit more angry energy, or, you know, kind of frustrated, like nervous energy leading up to it. This was just kind of a happy vibe, and we were talking about it a little bit last week about how this fan base is fired up about this team, and that 59-10 win in Miami certainly solidified that. It made people excited about this offense that,
oh yeah,
you know, it has a lot of promising talent, but there's a question about the scheme and how it's all going to work together, and is Jackson for real? And through 2 weeks, it looks like that so far, and that contributed to what was a very fun environment today. And it really helped them out towards the end there, because the crowd needed to get involved. We'll definitely get to that. But yeah, overall, I'd say it was a fun environment.
Yeah, the house was rocking. I know that, you know, a lot of the players were tweeting after the game that they loved the energy that was coming in, and take that what you will, how important you think that is or don't think that is. But that's a big part of it. And being a fan, a big part of it, a part of the experience, part of what makes spending your hard-earned dollars worth it is the environment and the energy and the positivity or lack thereof, whatever, man. And I was feeling it today. I know everybody was really excited, like you just said, coming off a huge win in Miami, and people are excited to see what this offense is going to do. And they have Earl Thomas, and they have Mark Ingram, and Hollywood Brown, and Andrews is emerging. So this is the most fun that I've had as a Ravens fan in quite some time, to be honest.
Yeah, and you can tell that the franchise is kind of soaking that up. They see that the fan base...
The potential.
They do. They see the potential, and they're kind of going all in on sort of getting their Q rating up with this fan base. I mean, there were some issues the last couple of years, obviously, but, you know, they're doing these amazing pregame videos with, you know, the Shield. Yes. They're putting the Shield back at midfield after fans requested it. They're bringing all these legends in. You see Haloti Ngata being the legend of the game there today. Jonathan Ogden's mixing it up. You got everyone there. Gervonta Davis was in the house.
Yes, sir. I almost forgot about Tank Davis. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. It was just a lot of fun. Really cool to see a lot of those guys reconnect back with the franchise. And like I said, I think they're capitalizing on what's an all-time kind of high energy moment for a fan base that hasn't really felt that way, like you said, in a long time. I'd probably harken back to those Ray Lewis 2008 through, yes, like 2014 basically days.
Absolutely. So it was a lot of fun, as we said, and the entertainment value is there. If you happen to take a look at our Instagram page or whatnot, this game was the most minorly broadcasted game across Fox. So it was basically the greater Baltimore area, and then Louisville, Kentucky, for obvious reasons. And I feel bad for those that didn't get to watch this game. The entertainment value was there. The quality of quarterback play was there. The excitement was there. Explosive plays. So just as a general football fan, before we kind of dive into what was going on, great to watch. Good football. Good quality football. I mean, there's, you know, some penalties, yada, 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 but it was an exciting game, and I was really happy with the product that both teams trotted out, and happy to be back at the bank and ready to rock and roll.
Yeah, definitely. It felt, it was a lot of high-quality football. It felt like a complete win that was well-earned. You know, when you have a kicker like Justin Tucker, you can maybe get out of certain games, maybe not feeling,
yes,
like you totally deserved it, but today, like you said, it kind of felt fully deserved. it felt like the Cardinals deserved the points that they got, and ultimately the clock just favored Baltimore there at the end. But a very hard-fought game, and I guess we can jump into it now.
Yeah, so let's talk about the Cardinals first, because I'm not going to lie to you. I'm really impressed based on what I saw week one from them in a tough situation. And then today, in a raucous environment, they were decisive. And if I woke up from a coma and watched a football game and you tried to tell me that Kyler Murray from afar was a rookie in his second game and his first road start at the Baltimore Ravens, I'm going to call you a damn liar, because he was poised. He took losses without making a mistake. We were just kind of talking about it before we started recording, and he didn't turn the ball over. He didn't do anything out of the script. When the play wasn't there, he ended it. He put the ball in the dirt. He took the sack. He didn't do anything to kind of let go. Defensively from the Cardinals, the Ravens should have capitalized more. The Cardinals are thin, and I was tweeting it a little bit. They ran cover three for the first three quarters, and they took advantage at times. Like you were talking about Tucker, I would say the two unsung heroes, it will probably be a Baltimore beatdown article, the unsung heroes of the game for me were Tucker just nailing field goals as if, you know, we're spoiled. We expect him to. He nailed a 51-yarder that was good from, I mean, I'm sure if we were watching on Fox, it would have said good from 68 or something. Like, he freaking crushed that ball. Then the offensive line and giving Lamar time. I mean, Chandler Jones, Terrell Suggs, they got a couple other guys in there. They were throwing a little funk, but the offensive line really played well in pass protection. And the only kind of real pressure that came was when Lamar held the ball, and that's going to happen. So I'm not throwing, you know, sacks on the offensive line for, I believe, the two that happened, maybe three. But offensive line stood strong. Orlando Brown had, two holding calls, Jake?
Yeah, at least one. I think maybe two. Don't know off the top of my head.
It's not the end of the world. It happens, but they were giving him a clean pocket. There was a clear kind of, you know, shell of a pocket, what a pocket is supposed to look like. And Lamar stepped up and made plays, and you need your quarterback to go do that. But I was really impressed with the Cardinals' offense.
Yeah, definitely. And you could see it kind of starting right off the bat in the first quarter there, their first drive. I was telling you, I was sitting down in the end zone where they got the ball. And the very first play of the game, I think, Murray takes a snap, McPhee has him dead to rights, and he just spins out and cuts upfield. Yeah, he's gone for like an 8-yard gain. They get a first down out of it, maybe one more first down, and then they get stopped, punted over to the Ravens, and then the Ravens, starting from their own 5-yard line, orchestrate a 95-yard touchdown drive. You got Hollywood Brown getting into the mix, running backs a little bit here and there, and then Mark Andrews wide open on a nice play call by Greg Roman up the sideline for the first touchdown of the game.
Takes a swing out and goes deep.
Absolutely. And so let's talk about these two young Heisman winners. Lamar was efficient again. I mean, he had a couple throws that were errant-ish, kind of some weird levels and stuff. He wasn't perfect, but he wasn't too far off from being perfect. 24 of 37. So off the top of my head, what's that? 66%? Something in the ballpark?
Yeah,
he's the only quarterback in the history of the NFL in a single game to account for 250 yards plus throwing through the air and then 120 yards on the ground. And he made plays when he needed to. And then Kyler Murray, I mean, 349 yards, 25 of 40. What more do you want out of a rookie quarterback on the road? And Christian Kirk, 100 yards. Larry Fitzgerald, 100 yards. Damir Byrd had a nice game underneath. The Ravens, I think, were somewhat fortunate that David Johnson got kind of banged up there, because the Cardinals were doing a good job of taking what the Ravens allowed them to have, taking that low-hanging fruit, the apple that's closest to you on the branch of the apple tree. And Kyler is accurate, man. He's really accurate. I'm so excited that the Ravens won, so I don't have like some salty taste in my mouth towards the Cardinals, and I can watch this kid. I say this kid, meanwhile, he's a multimillionaire, absolute stud, grow and play and go out and about and play against the Seahawks and the Rams and the Niners upcoming. I'm pumped. I love what I saw from the Cardinals offense. I really do. The pace, the tempo, keeping Michael Pierce on the field, keeping Brandon Williams on the field, and not being sloppy at the same time, running so many plays, running that high tempo while maintaining cohesiveness, decisiveness on the road, operating in crowd noise. I think they maybe had one false start, but it was fun to watch.
They were playing so fast. Like, I couldn't even...
Crazy, bro, crazy.
I couldn't even keep up with it. I was wondering what was going on with the defense, and I was like, oh, yeah, they're basically doing that cheetah thing where they just get up to the line of scrimmage and snap it right away, and they don't even really give the ref time to set it. They don't give the camera time to settle in. So they were going so fast, and that's part of the reason why the Ravens were getting gashed on certain plays.
It's hard not to.
Yeah, communication is tough in a situation like that, especially when you have guys rotating in. You saw a lot of Anthony Averett at corner. There were other guys getting into the mix. So, you know, with the few injuries that you have back there in the secondary, going really fast like that, especially when you don't have a ton of premier talent up front, you're going to get gashed, and they did today. I mean, some of it was luck with Larry Fitzgerald just doing Larry Fitzgerald things. But overall, I think, it's a very efficient outing by that Cardinals offense. They have nothing to be ashamed of besides not getting the ball into
Absolutely
the end zone
not.
A few more times than, you know, they probably should have. Or they should have probably gotten the ball in the end zone a few more times. I mean, that's ultimately what cost them. But, you know, they made it a close game, so.
Yeah, and something I was really impressed about with their offense, followed by something I wasn't impressed about, if Kyler Murray's going to throw a speed out, a three-step out route to the sideline, it was a handoff, man. It was a handoff. If he was throwing a screen pass, it was a handoff. It was a 100% guarantee that the ball was going to go there. The nose of the football was going to travel into his receiver's numbers. And that's the beauty of the air raid. At one point, when I started to get a little bit worried for the Ravens, I believe it was early in the third quarter, the Cardinals surpassed the Ravens in time of possession, and that's when they were really starting to kind of move and be efficient. And I was like, uh-oh, this is bad. And for the Cardinals to have a dominant time of possession at any point in the game while running an air raid offense is crazy. And they weren't doing it against the Miami Dolphins. They were doing it against the Baltimore Ravens. And it's only going to keep growing. So the question that has been asked throughout kind of, you know, NFL media, Good Morning Football, what have you, can the air raid work in the NFL? Hell yes, it can. It did. It did today. However, when they got down to the red zone, and this is where the Ravens defense stood up, when the field shrunk down, there was nowhere to go. It was really hard. It was tough sledding. And I believe that that's where they need to improve. They need to maybe adapt out of the air raid a tiny bit more and be able to punch the ball in. Because if they did, the Ravens would have been in trouble. And I don't know if we're talking about a Ravens W today.
Yeah, I mean, it's that, you know, you need to be able to punch the ball in, which is tough to do when you space it out a lot more on offense. So maybe they're going to need to go a little bit heavier and get more use out of David Johnson and whatnot. But it was also, it just seems like when you can find them, i.e. the red zone, or when they get pinned down, which they did a lot in the Lions game and they did in this game as well. Good job by Sam Cook. Justin Tucker had a nice pooch kick down into the corner of the end zone. When these guys, you know, with an air raid offense, when they get condensed, it feels, you know, maybe like they get, you know, slowed down. I mean, at least compared to the other parts of the game when they were just kind of flinging it around. So, yeah, it's definitely something that I anticipate having success in the league, but you're going to need to tinker with those few things a little bit to maybe get a little bit bigger, a little bit heavier, a little more tough when you need to be able to work your way through some of those more close quarters parts of the field.
Absolutely. And again, let's say Patrick Peterson's not suspended here and Robert Alford doesn't go out. I think the Cardinals would have been a little bit more comfortable kind of divulging outside of those cover three looks that they were giving the two corners running the sideline with one single high safety. And because they did that, it made it really easy for Lamar. And I'm not taking away from the accurate throws he made and the good decisions that he made and the times where he took sacks and the times where he threw the ball away. But knowing what you're going into and being able to at the line of scrimmage, strategize into that was a huge factor for the Ravens offense today. And Ravens offense was a little bit too cute for me today at many times, and I think a large part of that was that the Cardinals were stacking the box even way heavier than the Dolphins did. I mean, there were consistently, if you want to include the cover three corners, 10 guys in the box, so they were kind of daring the Ravens to throw it, and they did so efficiently. Mark Andrews gets open. If he's one-on-one, he will fight for the ball. It's not going to get picked off if you give Mark Andrews a catchable ball, because he will aggressively box you out and take the ball away. So it was very good thing to see out of the Ravens offense, while at the same time inefficient at times, where the power run game needed to be put in more. And something I was a little bit surprised about: Mark Ingram got his touches. Gus Edwards was the number three back today, and I'm, you know, it's going to happen. There's three guys back there, but I would have liked to see a tad more Gus Edwards moving downhill and some of those read options and whatnot. I guess Lamar made up for it with a crazy performance on the ground. I think he only got actually hit once. I think he was tackled one-on-one with a defender one time where he didn't cruise out of bounds or get down. But I would like to see some more Gus.
Yeah, I think the problem with that is, like you said, they were completely selling out to stop the run. So they had, you know, 7-8 guys in the box every single play. You can't really get Ingram going. What are you really going to do with Edwards? So you get Dixon, or you get Justice Hill involved. You get Lamar booting it to the outside and just eating up the space that's out there, because there was plenty of it, and it helped him get that 120 yards. So not really a game for a power style offense to work in too much. So I think they just kind of did what they did. I did want to ask you, like, how do you feel about Lamar right now? Because obviously his Q rating was at an all-time high leaving last week. Now you got another solid performance, albeit not perfect like it was in week one. What is kind of the thought process for you with him right now?
So his confidence has translated from the offseason through the first 2 weeks, and I'm trying to pull the Ravens schedule up right now because the Cardinals couldn't attack Lamar. They couldn't come downhill and make him show his hand, make him do something, funnel him in one direction. So Chiefs next week, obviously. They have a game record and Chris Jones up front. They've got Frank Clark, Tyrann Mathieu. But at the same time, I don't see them being able to outmatch the Ravens offensive line and tight end combinations, the Browns, the Steelers, the Bengals. Until there's a defense that overwhelms the Ravens, and I'm not seeing it until maybe Steelers, Seahawks, or Patriots, where they can man for man, hat on a hat, overwhelm their assignment, this offense is going to keep rolling. And 272 yards today, 300-yard game last week, 7 touchdown passes in 7 quarters. He was a statue in the pocket when it was there. And as soon as it wasn't, he was out. It was extremely efficient. And what I've seen so far, and if you want to say that the Cardinals weren't good competition, you're selling yourself short of the product that you watched, because that was a NFL caliber defense playing tight coverage and giving a run for their money, coming off of a very important tie to start kind of an era for Cardinals football. And Lamar was just decisive, man. His mechanics are so improved. His understanding of how much touch to put on a pass at certain times versus zipping one up the seam in a tight window was there. It's all in his head, and the Ravens will go as far this season as Lamar's mental sharpness takes them, in my opinion. Their defense can play up and down to anybody, but Lamar's brain will take them as far as they want to go.
Yeah, I wanted to ask, because this is kind of right where I pictured him. You know, all the people were, you know, you had all of his critics saying that he can't do this, he can't do that, it's not going to translate. Then you have people that I think were maybe a little bit too bullish or excited, and I was kind of in the middle there, trending towards optimistic, where I think he could pretty much each and every week go out and have a game like this where he's very efficient. He doesn't hit on every single throw. He does a lot on the ground, and he just kind of does what he needs to do to get the win. And I think this is definitely what that game was, because he did miss a few, I wouldn't necessarily say layups, but it felt like throws that he had to hit, I think Andrews and Hollywood Brown at one point. But yeah, it just felt like he was just kind of workmanlike out there. He did what he had to do to get the win, which is crazy because he had 120 rushing yards. Not bad for a quarterback. And yeah, 2 touchdowns.
Not bad for a running quarterback, back running quarterback. Back.
Not bad for a dual threat. but yeah, I thought he had a really efficient game, and this is kind of what I'm expecting from him moving forward throughout the season against more competent NFL competition.
Absolutely. And I mean, Chandler Jones didn't make a huge impact. Terrell Suggs didn't make a huge impact. Jordan Hicks, I thought, played really well, and so did Buda Baker. It's just the Ravens offense is so multiple in personnel as well as concepts. My favorite thing to see that I swear I have not seen out of a Ravens offense relatively recently is, okay, hey, Hollywood's really fast. The Cardinals defense is going to play soft coverage on him. So what do? Take a 5-yard out, throw the easy throw, and Lamar made it accurately. The nose of the football was where it was supposed to be. It's smart football, and that can apply to peewee football, high school football, college football, NFL football. Do the simple things the way they are intended to be and how you are supposed to be successful. Don't make a mountain out of an ant mound.
Yeah.
That's something that I'm really proud of the Ravens offense and the way that they operated today.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Just keep it simple where you need to. I mean, they were obviously stacking the box there to, you know, force Lamar to throw it, and he did. I wanted to also get your thoughts on Hollywood, because I think he looks awesome.
My favorite part that's going to sound kind of stupid is kind of what I was saying about Kyler Murray giving up on plays. When Hollywood catches a ball in traffic, he understands, I'm a tiny guy. If there's more than one man to beat, I don't want to get hit. I don't want to fumble. And he just takes the 7 yards and falls down. And that's a veteran move. He's not forcing something that's not there. And his hands have been way better than I honestly thought coming out of Oklahoma. There was the challenged pass interference was on Hollywood, correct?
Yeah,
on slant.
It was either him or Roberts. I think it was him.
I think it was Hollywood. And I mean, that was clearly far and away a pass interference. The Ravens also got away with a couple of calls as well. I don't know. I've been anticipating these challengeable pass interferences to have a way bigger impact than they have so far. And that was the first one we've seen in a Ravens game that had an impact. And to me, that was clear. That was definitive, et cetera. Your question was more about Hollywood, but he had that sideline. I think it was just kind of like a fade 9 route. Maybe it might have been a post corner. And he reeled that in over his shoulder. It was a well-paced ball from Lamar. And Hollywood got under it, hit him in the hands, and he reeled the freaking ball in. And that was a huge play. I think that was on like 3rd and 11 when the game was really close.
To win the game, yeah.
And what did he have? 8 catches for 85 yards, something like that?
I think 86 yards.
Paired with Mark Andrews, who is just a top 5 tight end. Like,
yeah,
we've been saying it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, we were talking about Andrews, too, just to kind of get a quick thought on him. You threw out like the Kelsey and Kittle and those guys, and I said Mark Andrews soon to be in that group, and it looks pretty good so far. I mean, the guy just finds ways to get open creatively. He has great hands, like you said, physical, and he's not all power, all finesse. He feels like kind of a balanced player there. But yeah, going back to Hollywood, I think the guy looks really, really good. He has a chance to be the number one wide receiver as soon as this year. He's kind of already looking like it. And it's just kind of those like little things, like you talked about him getting down. He had that one insane like stop and go thing on the first drive where it looked like a video game. He just completely stopped. The guy ran by him and he fell forward for a few more yards. So there's just natural playmaking ability there that you don't really see with receivers a lot of the time. And it helps when you're really,
in the Ravens
really fast.
Particularly.
Oh,
as
yeah.
An entire entity of offense, Ravens history.
Yeah, basically. So he's already, we were just joking about it. He's already looking like he has a chance to be the best receiver this franchise has ever drafted. And that's not really a joke because he's looking the part right now.
The only thing, knock on wood, bang, 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 injuries. Other than that, I've never seen a more talented receiver that was young. Like, I love Anquan Boldin. I love Steve Smith. Those guys started elsewhere. This is by far the most talented receiver that the Ravens have ever drafted. It's a fact. And as we're saying, is Mark Andrews leading the NFL in receiving yards? I seriously think he might be. He's had back-to-back 100-yard games. He has 16 catches, I think, 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, he's got to be right in the mix. He was, I think, like top 3 today.
Yeah, and he was last week as well. He was like top 7 or something. So he's got about 230 yards receiving through 2 weeks. So he's got to be up there. So, and then I was also really impressed. Justice Hill wasn't in a ton, but it's clear when he's in the game, defenses need to watch out, man. Like, there were some really deadly runs and play actions and boots built off of him. He made somebody miss in the open field. I think he forced 6 missed tackles last week. And I think he only had 2 touches today and forced 4. And that's crazy. That's
He almost had a touchdown there at the beginning, too.
Yes. He was down at like the 2 or the 1 on the sideline. Again, and last week against Miami, he was almost in.
Yep, definitely. I think he's going to be itching to get one soon. Going to need all the juice we can get from him when the Ravens go to play in Kansas City next week. But you got anything more on the offense, or you want to jump over to the D?
I'll just say that two quick thoughts. Number one, Miles Boykin. I am not going to see the snap chart, and I prefer to wait for those instead of trying to do it myself. It's tedious, and someone else thankfully does it and usually ends up on my Twitter feed or
hashtag
the
grinding
put
the
it
tape.
Out.
Tape he grinding life.
Especially through the first half, Miles Boykin was on the field nonstop. Like, crazy amount of usage for a hardball rookie receiver that is not your star receiver, Marquise Brown. And then Willie Snead hasn't caught a bunch of run. But I think when they play better teams, when the Ravens play the Patriots, when they play the Texans, the Rams, those kind of teams, Willie Snead is that professional caliber guy that you can kind of rely on. So watch out for Snead more. So Patrick Ricard, segueing into defense, had another catch. So he's had two catches. He had a catch for 3 yards. And then also he did record a half of a quarterback sack, according to ESPN, as I'm looking. So
Project Pat. Awesome. Whoop. Okay, awesome.
What did you say? I'm sorry.
I said Project Pat, and then I did the whoop thing that they were doing, but I guess you're just not paying attention.
It didn't come through the way, but yeah, Project Pat, 3-6 Mafia, Academy Award winners, what? He was in there, as I kind of said, if you guys have been listening through training camp, I want him in on passing downs. He has more juice than Brandon Williams does as a pass rusher, and that's, you know, it's not a knock on Brandon Williams. He's really good at what he does, but Pat pushed the pocket and made people uncomfortable, and he's a little bit, you know, longer and taller and he's younger. He's got a better motor in those passing situations, so I was really happy with that. Brandon Carr was targeted, I want to say, 15 times today.
So are we jumping to the defense
Brandon
here?
Carr's coverage.
Are we going to defense?
Yeah.
All right, let's take a quick break real quick, and then we'll jump over to that, okay?
Yes, sir.
Cool. All right, so jumping into the defense, you started to hit on Carr there a little bit before we jumped over to the break. What were you kind of trying to get at with old Brandon Carr?
So he has this veteran savvy, and the player who comes to mind is the longtime Vikings corner, Terrence Newman, who played until he was about 38 and was really effective into his late 30s, where there's this patience that you don't see with very many corners at all. And Brandon Carr is not the most gifted athlete. He is an extremely gifted athlete, but not, you know, he's not Marlon. He's not Patrick Peterson. He's not Jalen Ramsey. And I feel like he was targeted in excess of 13 times, and he let up some catches, but he also defended some passes really well. And if you're going to catch a ball in Brandon Carr, you're going to have to do it the right way. You're going to have to be effective. You're going to have to come back to the ball. And he just has this confidence in his ability to recover that is so calming to watch in a way. And he, like I said, he did get beat and he did let up some catches, but he was there and his feet weren't falling out from under him. And he was able to limit the catch into little yak, and it wasn't some crazy mad show. And with Jimmy Smith going down and Marlon obviously trying to strap up whoever Wink wants him to, you need that out of Brandon Carr, and I thought he performed really well. He was really solid as a tackler. He blitzed, I think, twice, and I was really impressed with him just as a calming presence in the secondary while the Ravens are banged up, when Kennedy's out there and Averett's out there. And, you know, Earl is amazing, and he's new, and it seems like the Cardinals really avoided throwing the ball towards where Earl was. So they targeted Brandon Carr, and he stood his ground is the best way to put it.
Yeah, he did have like kind of a rough opening to the game. I think Larry Fitz got him for a few. That guy Bird maybe was the one who had kind of that free catch on him. I mean, there were a few free catches today, but yeah, you mentioned it. His ability to recover, he has kind of a short-term memory in that he gets beat on one play, and then the next play he's making the pass break up on like third down or something. So it's huge to have that guy with the veteran mentality to not get too high or too low. And we saw it, I think, in the end zone. He had a nice couple of breakups there. And yeah, just an overall solid day from him. He's a very good tackling corner as well, which is something to notice. What were you kind of thinking about the performance of the rest of the corners? I didn't see a ton from Humphrey, and I don't know if I loved what I saw from Averett. What were your thoughts there?
So the secondary was tested heavily, and looking ahead, the Rams have Kopp and Cooks and Woods, and that's going to test them. And the Chiefs are obviously going to test them next week, even though they don't have Tyreek Hill. But this was a really good building point, I think, communication-wise in their own stadium, because people don't realize, like, yes, you don't want the offense to be able to hear, but the defense, communicating on defense is so important, because you need to be able to adjust to motions and shift down and get aligned properly. So I saw communication there. The execution wasn't perfect, but the Cardinals, as I said, I'm really impressed with the way they pushed the ball and the throws that Murray made, and they didn't let – I think Christian Kirk had one, like, deep cross that he kind of rolled with for about 30 yards after the catch or something. That was a blown coverage. That was bad. But for how many times the Cardinals threw the ball, how many times they dropped back, they limited the completions into just completions. It wasn't this free-for-all. So they weren't letting things – beyond them, and that's all you can ask. And knowing that the air raid is going to kind of have the oxygen taken out of the fire once it gets down inside the 20, where there's not as much space to kind of run those concepts and the pass rush gets a little bit more fierce, they did a great job containing to the red zone. So it wasn't, you know, the Rashawn Melvin days of one-on-one down the sideline. And I mean, Marlon, I'm going to have to go back and watch. I know he let up a couple completions, but he was always there. He was always tight. Like, he wasn't, you know, picking the ball off every single time, but Murray was making good throws.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he kind of didn't really need to be in the mix too much. It felt like they were very much trying to target Carr. And like I said, it kind of worked for them a little bit, but not overall throughout the game, because he did sort of have the last laugh there. What we saw from the rest of the team, what were there, only two sacks overall? Maybe more than that.
There were three. So Pat Ricard and Pernell McPhee. I'm looking at the stats and I don't think they're right as I have them, because I believe Pernell McPhee technically had two sacks. No?
I don't know off the top of my head. I know he definitely was involved in one.
We're a little bit skewed, guys, because we were at the game. So what I'm seeing here is Brandon Carr had a sack on a blitz. And I'm seeing Matt Judon had a sack. I'm positive of that one. I'm seeing McPhee credited with a half a sack, and then Ricard as the other half of that sack. And I think that's it. Yeah. So that would just be three. But how many times did Kyler Murray, I mean, have to roll so deep? And he's an athletic quarterback. He's probably with Lamar and probably, you know, I mean, Cam Newton's kind of getting into that prime of his career where he has to rely on things other than athleticism. But I'd say the two most athletic quarterbacks in the NFL currently are Kyler Murray and Lamar, and
I throw Deshaun Watson
made
in there.
Murray uncomfortable.
I throw Deshaun Watson in there too.
Yeah, and Josh Allen too, probably is a very good athlete.
Good point. There's a lot of guys.
Yeah, so the number one guy that I saw kind of that stood out defensively that didn't make a huge splash but was disruptive was Tim Williams. He had a ton of snaps today. This had to be his biggest snap count in a game by 20. He kind of got in there and he was thrashing and busting in and crossing face, so he wasn't just running the arc, which if you run the arc against a Lamar Jackson or a Kyler Murray, it's just going to make a lane for them to step up and buy more time and give them the sideline. So Tim Williams was kind of crossing the tackle's face, and he didn't get pressure all the time. I think I'm going to check PFF tomorrow, or excuse me, Tuesday. He probably had five pressures, and he was getting in there and not allowing Kyler to have a clear lane. So I was really impressed with him. Judon was a force. Peanut was in the right place, and I think he was the definite important communicator as the Mike linebacker should be. So I feel like he filled in that role. Some things went over his head, but the air raid makes it really hard on a middle linebacker, and especially with an accurate quarterback like that. It was difficult. There was a lot of stuff that was just beyond his reach. And again, I'm just going to throw that back to Kyler Murray being outstanding. And I can't say enough how good of a test this was, and for them to walk away with a W and not have overlooked this game and let it slip out of their hands. The David Johnson touchdown was like down on the goal line, correct?
And yeah, it was like right off the 1 yard line, yeah, something like that.
And they got him. It was just it just was what it was. The Cardinals ran for 18 total yards, and they didn't run the ball a ton, but they contained Kyler Murray. They contained the ground game, and they limited big plays, and you can't ask for much more against an offense that executed so well and has so many playmakers. I mean, Christian Kirk is
frisky.
Outstanding.
Oh, yeah. I would say that, yeah, that David Johnson touchdown, I did want to touch on that drive because it came after what was their play of the day, basically. The wide open busted coverage, Larry Fitzgerald, they were coming out of the end zone that I was sitting in. I had a perfect angle on it. And there was nobody within a country mile of him. He just caught it and rumbled down into well into Baltimore territory. And they finished off the drive with a nice couple of plays there to punch Johnson in the end zone. But you said you haven't been able to watch too much back of this game yet. What do you think just initially what happened on that play?
I think that it's difficult to communicate when the Cardinals, schematically, what I was able to see just from watching in the stands was similar to what I saw against the Lions when they picked up the pace. They want to go trips. They want to go bunch trips. And then it's basically Kyler Murray looking at the one receiver that's probably going to be one-on-one and them running a slant or a go. And I think that the Ravens were kind of letting the slant go so that you don't get beat on the go route. And I think that Bird had two receptions on that drive, if I remember correctly, on slants. And it was 30 yards on those. And it was okay. They limited it. And the Ravens were trying to communicate. And I saw a lot of Tony Jefferson getting down into the box with Marlin and trying to lock it up. But it's tough when you're seeing this offense live. It's not an easy thing to go against where – especially Kyler Murray is, and this is why the Cardinals traded Josh Rosen away, why Cliff Kingsbury wanted Kyler, because he's athletic enough that poor pass protection doesn't bust the play. And it's really difficult when you go trips to win a one-on-one matchup as a cornerback for 4 seconds. So Kyler's able to buy time and comfortably, he was gliding. He looked like he was on ice skates, like pirouetting at times. He has those tiny little strides, and he's just all of a sudden, boom, rolls out from hash to hash and has 5 steps on Judon, who's quick as a freaking whip. And I thought it was just difficult to communicate at first, and then the Ravens kind of went back on the sideline and were able to look at the surface, the Microsoft surface, and see exactly, hey, Earl's got this side, they're gonna run this slant on the backside. The bubble screen is always an option, so we need to be ready to take that away. And that's something that I think the Cardinals gashed them with early, was those trips bubble screens where you immediately have 2 blockers, and Kyler Murray is so lethally accurate on just a screen that he's hitting somebody right in stride, allowing them to move forward and get towards the sideline. And they kind of buckled down later on those. But early on, they were getting a little bit gashed. So,
yeah, definitely.
Screwing the nuts and bolts on once they kind of saw it.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think playing together a little bit more is going to help that, because these are some guys that are getting rotated in now. And that Fitzgerald play, it was a busted coverage, but that's it was their play of the game. It's what had them in the action at the end, really. I don't think without that play, it's really as competitive as we're talking about right now. But switching over to the Ravens side, their play of the game, it had to be the 3rd-and-11 Lamar to Hollywood Brown, absolute dime, dropped it in the breadbasket to clinch the victory for Baltimore.
They need 11 yards. He's going for much more than that. Hollywood Brown holds it in. The catch of the game from the rookie.
That's as good of a throw as you can ask for, and it was a touch pass. And that takes confidence to the level where you don't think about it, where the throw is just going to come out with a high arcing angle and trajectory, and the nose is going to drop when the ball's at its arc and come down in the breadbasket, like you said. And something I did kind of like a Hollywood review of his college tape, and something that I wanted was him to, despite being smaller, still use his body and use little short arm push offs to wall off from the defender. And he did exactly that. It wasn't, and this is where you see Hollywood's not a one trick pony. This game showed that time and time again. There was no deep ball. There was no 83 yard touchdown, but he showed savvy and understanding as a wide receiver, how to angle, how to track, where to go, where to give up, and all that good stuff. And like you said, Jake, that was a pivotal play. That was the play of the game.
Yeah, I mean, it knocked them onto their knees, the Cardinals, and it allowed the Ravens to kneel this one out. And it does show kind of the guts and the willingness to go for it that we didn't really see with latter era Joe Flacco after he had been injured a ton of times. And, you know, it's kind of that youthful optimism that Lamar has, that he's just saying, you know what, God damn it, we're going to win this game. I'm going to drop back here. My fast little MFR receiver is going to run up the field, and I'm just going to drop it right in the bucket for him to win this thing, and we're going to get out of town with a W.
There was no thought. There was no delay. It was immediate. Yeah. It was action and reaction, and that is when quarterbacks are at their best. So it was incredibly positive to see, and a continuance on, number one, Greg Roman and Harbaugh trusting Lamar, and Lamar being a freaking stud mentally.
Yeah, definitely.
And being able to make throw. So it was awesome to watch.
Yep, that closed that one out. You got any more thoughts before we whip around the league real quick?
He ran for 120 yards, man, and didn't get touched. It's crazy.
Can we talk about that?
It was the pinnacle of like what RG3 was supposed to do. That's what Lamar did. Like, having RG3 on the sideline helped, I guess. He didn't get touched and ran for 120 yards. He had that one run on third down in like 20, and it was like an 18-yard gain.
That was nuts.
Put so much pressure on the Cardinals, and it didn't take a hit. There was no, ooh, oh my gosh, oh, I hope he's okay. It was just like, oh, Lamar, he's out in space. He gives you that little shoulder shimmy, that hezzy step, and then sideline. Boom, mine, every time. It was awesome. Awesome to watch. So much fun.
Yep, definitely. That was a big-time highlight from him, that 18-yard run. It wound up being a field goal. They would have gone for it if they didn't have some type of illegal procedure. I don't know off the top of my head. But, yeah, I guess that wraps up that game. Now we can jump into our rest of the league whip-around, starting in Pittsburgh.
So I have not – we were at the game, as we said, but the number one person, the number one critic of – what the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to be this year has been Vaz, Vasily Lerikos.
Yep.
And it's coming to fruition. And something that he has said is, you know, he's kind of joked about it. And we saw Antonio Brown catch a touchdown in their rout of the Dolphins, which surprised literally zero people on the entire planet. But Vaz kind of makes this joke. Oh, you lost AB. You lost Le'Veon Bell. You're 0-2. Weird. It's like subtraction by subtraction. Who would have thought?
Yeah, I mean, that was a company line with them, addition by subtraction, not looking great so far.
No, and I don't think they have the playmakers necessary, and they don't have the secondary necessary. And that's not to say that they won't, you know, beat the Ravens once. And it's not to say that they might not end up sneaking to a wild card, but 0-2, that's rough, man. That's rough.
Yeah,
and
especially for
having
them,
the Seahawks travel from the West Coast to Pittsburgh. We were talking about this last episode. You're expected to beat the team traveling east.
Yeah, we were saying it felt like a Pittsburgh win big time, and it just kind of wasn't that way. I'm interested to see how Mason Rudolph looked, because just from the highlights, it looked like he did all right. And if he can maybe put something together here, I don't know the health status on Ben Roethlisberger, obviously, but I guess we're going to find out. And
it was an elbow?
Yeah, so it was an elbow. He's going to get an MRI, I think. And if it's severe, then we're going to get a long look at Mason Rudolph here and see if he's going to be in the mix here with Baker and Lamar for the next decade or so in the AFC North.
Yikes for him. He's got a tough stretch coming up. But then Bengals got routed by the 49ers, which I didn't think they would get smacked down like they did. So we're just talking AFC North for now. I don't think they would get quite a smackdown, but I think the 49ers are a deep team and a well-coached team. They're 2-0. I don't think I saw them. They could end up being a 10-6, 11-5 before.
Are the Niners back?
Not my prediction.
Are the Niners back?
I can't say yet. I'm not going to say because I don't trust Jimmy G.
They're the big back team of the NFL, I feel like. Are they back?
They were supposed to be that last year, though, and they weren't.
Yeah, well, Jimmy G got hurt. So this year, are the Niners back? They're 2-0.
That's what I'm saying. What I just said is I'm not ready to say they're back until I see Jimmy G for like 9 games.
Yep, fair enough. You got the Brownies going to New York tomorrow night to take on the, let's just say it, hapless New York Jets. Sam Darnold out with mononucleosis. Grow up, dude. You can't play with mono. Come on, man.
Dude. Stop kissing girls all the time,
yeah,
man.
Dude, oh, sick brag, man. What? You kissed a girl?
Yeah, Sam. He's like, oh, dude, I'm sorry. I can't play tomorrow. I've been kissing around New York, dude. I've just been kissing everybody.
Got a
I don't think
problem.
I can get out there.
You addicted,
sorry.
You're addicted to kissing girls? Kissing problem?
Yeah, man. Like Mike Tyson says, now kith.
That's an unmitigated shot at Mike Tyson. But, yeah, if the Browns don't win that.
Unmitigated.
I'm going a little Stephen A. After Dark here on you. But if the Browns don't win that game, they are F-U-C-K-E-D'd.
Yeah, they're donezo. That's bad. And if there's 3 winless teams in the AFC North, oh, Natty Bo will flow through the Chesapeake Bay way too early, and Old Bay will fall from the sky. The Maryland Crab Cake gods will be pumped up, but I think the Browns take it. I have them in my, I kind of announced my pick 'em, and
I think I picked them before the Darnold news even came out, honestly.
I did not. I had the Jets, so we had the Baltimore beatdown pick 'em, and I took the Jets. The Darnold news came out, and I flip-flopped in classic Spencer Schultz form.
Old,
I flip-flopped.
Old on-the-fence Schultz over here.
Yes, on-the-fence Pence. And I think there's the only excuse I can think of the Browns losing that game is Demarius Randall continuing the kind of sourpuss feeling that the Browns have.
That guy's a little bit of a talker, isn't he?
Yeah. Can Hollywood Brown block? Yeah, bro. He doesn't ever need to block once, so don't ever ask that again.
Yeah, he can, dickhead, and he can also catch game-winning passes for 44 yards, but that's besides the point.
Yeah, he'll just start out with a cool, what? Actually, Andrews and Hollywood might be like 2 of the top 5 receivers in the NFL after week 2.
I mean, just based on production, yeah. Because
Holly's got 144 plus 85, so 220, and then Andrews is like right in that same department, like 230.
Yeah, it's nuts.
And overreaction Sunday night, the Ravens are 2-0. They haven't played, a team coming off of a playoff run. They're obviously going to have to go to Kansas City next week, but this team is looking for real. And if they can avoid a typical John Harbaugh October, they'll be looking in good shape. An interesting game for me, reverting back to around the league, was Packers-Vikings. I took the Vikings to win straight up. I thought they would upset the Packers in Lambeau. I think the Packers were up 20-0 and lost 20-16, so the Vikings made a little bit of a run.
Oh, the Vikings won that game?
No.
The Packers.
It was 20-0 Packers. Packers won 20-16.
Oh, wow. Okay. Gotcha. I saw Dalvin Cook went off for a decent little game.
Yeah, I had him in DraftKings, and my phone was dead for the greater portion of today. And then I turned it back on and was like, oh, wow. Okay. Dalvin Cook had 31 points. Sweet. Then Sunday Night Football is going on right now. Are you watching? What's the score? What do we got going on? Falcons, Eagles.
I think it's only 3-0 Falcons at this point. I could be wrong, but I have Carson Wentz in fantasy, so I've been following that a little bit. I've got the TV on right here, as you can see.
Instead of being mean, and when you mention your fantasy players, like you always try to be to me, I'm going to say, wow, Jake, I really hope Carson Wentz does well for you tonight.
Listen, man, my fantasy team is a wagon, so I'd be surprised if you weren't invested in it.
It's actually secretly selfish because I have Carson Wentz too on my fantasy team. So I'm
nobody cares. Shut up. No one cares about your fantasy team.
What else? Lions beat the Chargers.
Did they? Why am I just learning about these results?
13-10, because you're slow, dude. I took 4 shots of Jaeger and shotgun to beer. And,
oh, well, I drink. I had 4 shots of Jaeger, and totally talking to this chick, and then she totally left, but it's all good. I mean, I got her Snapchat. I want
to
see if it
works.
Relax,
dude. My girlfriend does not listen to this podcast, so you can't say stuff
God,
like
I
that.
Freaking hope not.
Oh, buddy. But yeah, so I don't think anything else crazy happened around the league today. Oh, the Bears-Broncos, that was wild. The Bears got the ball back with 30 seconds left, took it down and scored. Poor Joey Flacco.
I mean, the absurdity of the fact that they just gifted the Bears a timeout there because they had maybe a second on the clock, you know, come on. It did not, I don't know. I don't think they got the timeout off is what I'm saying. But I'm biased. I wanted my large adult son, Joe Flacco, to get that win. But what are you going to do?
Big Joey bag of donuts. Poor Joe. Broncos 0-2. And that's our league updates, guys.
That was the end of every Ravens game I've seen for the last 3 years, which is pretty funny. Like, I love Joe, but God damn it, if that didn't bring back flashbacks.
Of Joe? This is what I think of.
Well, like, it was he made the play to win the game at the end, but then, like, the defense gives it up. And then it's like, oh, yeah, but we only scored 16 points, and Flacco's the quarterback, so what's going on there? And it's just a lot of questions and frustration.
It's one of two things. It's either Flacco scores with, like, under 2 minutes left, and you're like, yeah, man, and then, like, classic Dean Pease prevent happened, or the Ravens would get the ball back and Joe Flacco would like roll out for some reason out of the pocket instead of getting rid of the ball and then get strip sacked and then the Ravens would lose.
Yep. Flashback.
10 out of 10.
Yep. What else do we
but,
have?
But yeah, there's your around the league highlights. Okay. Da-da-dum, da-da-dum.
Cool. Anything else before we get out of here?
No, man. I'm going to be crunching it. I'll be charting it and giving you guys some more quality content on what actually happened as I was at the game. So I don't have my all 22 yet, but I will. So look out for that on BaltimoreBeatdown.com.
Check me out.
Follow Jake on Twitter at Jake Luke.
All 22.
LOUQUES.
Just LOU.
Is there an S on the end?
There is not.
I always want to put an S on the end because I feel like it's French Canadian fancy.
Well, yeah, I mean, it is, but that's a whole nother story. I don't know if fancy is the way I would describe my relatives, but
yeah, follow the podcast. I'm sure you guys do if you're on Twitter at this point, but that's Baltimore Beatdown Podcast.
Yeah, at Podcast Beatdown, if you want to use the at.
At Podcast Beatdown, Instagram, all that good stuff. Give us the 5 stars so that we get up in the charts. Me and Jake and I are out here trying to do this thing full time. We appreciate all the support you guys have given us, absolutely, but we would love to continue growing, continue trying to give you guys the best Ravens coverage. So we would appreciate shares and ratings and all that good stuff. Give me a 1-star rating. Say Spencer doesn't get Jake's jokes, because let's be honest, I don't half the time. At least,
well, that's your
one out of three go over my head.
That's your problem.
That's my problem, but give us ratings, give us good ratings, bad ratings, all that stuff. We really appreciate it.
Well,
thank you guys.
Just make it a 5-star rating is what I'd say, but you can write whatever you want.
Yeah, give me a 1-star rating because I deserve it. Just
no,
kidding,
you don't.
Stars,
you do a great job.
And give us all that good stuff. Share, like, share it with your buddies, share it with your mom, whatever.
So
like, think we have a good time. Tell us what you like. Tell us what you don't like. DM us. Every other week we've got Ravens home games. Come meet up with us. Let's get after it. Excited. Love hearing from you guys. Appreciate all the activity going on the last couple weeks. And yeah, we're having fun. So tell us what you want to hear, what you don't want to hear, and all that good stuff. Been appreciating all the feedback we've been getting. Thank you guys.
Yep, absolutely. Thank you guys very much for all the engagement and following the show. We really do appreciate it. Be sure to reach out with any questions that you'd want to have read, because you know we have a small passionate fan base that we'd like to keep cultivating and growing with you guys. Has been very much a fun part of our lives here, and we'd like to keep the good vibes going. So let's do that. New episode coming later this week. I'm not sure if we're going to do 3 or 2. Definitely 2. At the very least, going to be previewing the Ravens heading down to old Kansas City to take on Spencer's Chiefs.
Oh, buddy. This is going to be a big one, man. This is going to be like the NFL game of the week.
Yeah, except it's at 1 o'clock, probably with like frickin' Andrew Catalan calling it. Like, no disrespect to my guy Andrew, but like, we can't at least get like a 425 Tony and Jim. Like, come on. This was one of the best games of the year.
Just do better, CBS. Just do better.
Anyone, I mean, like, whatever broadcasting company, you can get Joe and Troy on this game, I'd be happy, but no, we're going to be buried down the charts and old, you know, Andrew and whoever that Packers
receiver
was.
Are we going to have to get somebody from the extremely cocky Kansas City Chiefs fan base to come talk about the Chiefs for 30
minutes? I feel like
you
would like find a way to warp through your computer and just beat them to a pulp, so I don't necessarily need that to happen.
We're going to have to interview somebody because we like to interview someone ahead and give us the lowdown on the Chiefs. So expect a very cocky Chiefs beat reporter of some point on Thursday or Friday to come tell us how great the Chiefs are.
It's not cocky if it's justified.
They are fantastic. That's probably the only team that can take down the Pats that doesn't have a Boynton Beach boy at quarterback.
Get that boy Hollywood.
Hollywood. And on that, we're out.
Peace.
You see, I ain't no big sack man. I don't like sacks, man. See, sacks take me out of my game. I like running folks down.
I like interceptions and touchdowns.
Busting up them streams and blocking punts.
You in the gutter.
I like
you in the gun.
I like that bumping grind.
He like the trick work.
That boy like to get down. Down and dirty.
I like busting up screens. I just like hitting quarterbacks.
That's
my plan.
That's a nice.
I grab a quarterback. Slam it. And I bang, bang, bang all day.